we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. I just sounded kind of Australian there for just a moment. Good day, Brevard County. Throw a little Australian Irish in there or something. What a weird way to begin a program. I hope you're having a wonderful day. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I am not a linguist. thank you for tuning in. Pray that you are planning on having a great day. And it is, I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we've been there at Merritt Assembly for over 23 years. So if you're just tuning in, that tells you who I am. Our address is 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, almost two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and almost two blocks south of Merritt Avenue in the Merritt Park Place subdivision there. And so shouldn't be any trouble to find us. We're actually, you know, if you're looking for a landmark, we're two blocks west of Pizza Hut and two blocks north of Tires Plus there on the right-hand side. So anyway, we're glad that you have tuned in today. We are in the book of Isaiah. We want to say thank you to Teresi Auto Sales. They're on Clear Lake Boulevard, just south of Dixon. If you need some work done on your car, if you need a car to purchase, they do both of those things there. And you can find them there. Tell them you heard about them at the Refresh radio program. We have utilized them a great deal in 2016. And they are wonderful people. Joe and his son Michael and their team over there, they do an awesome job. So check them out. And so I want to take you to the 27th chapter of Isaiah today as we're looking through God's Word. And I want to, I'm not going to touch on every verse. There are some things here. I'm really excited when we get into chapter 28, but that will not be today. But today, I just want to remind you about the nature of God, the nature of our enemy, what God wants to do for you and I, and what the consequences are if we do not avail ourselves of his wisdom. And by the way, I've been teaching a series at church. I've been preaching it on Sunday mornings about the distinction between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and the way that we walk as a result of God calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been liberated. We've been set free from the power of sin over us, and we want to walk the way that God wants us to walk. And so we're very excited about this series, and if you want to come and join us on Sunday mornings, we would love to have you be a part of that. Let's go to Isaiah, the 27th chapter today. In verse number 1, it says this: "In that day the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea." So I'm just going to stop the reading there for just a moment, because I just wanted to share briefly today. I don't know what you are facing. I do know this, that just because you're a child of God does not mean that the devil has written you off as a target that he would like to reacquire. And Leviathan here, this is a name that primarily refers to our spiritual enemy. And there's a complete teaching that I've done on that in the past. And, you know, who knows, one day I might do that. But let's just suffice it to say here that this is the way that God describes that he is going to deal with our spiritual foe. It says, "In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea." So it says here that the way that God is going to deal with that, with our spiritual enemy, is with the sword, his severe sword, his great sword, his strong sword. Another translation said his sharp sword, his unrelenting sword or relentless sword, and his strong sword. The sword of the Spirit is identified in the New Testament as the Word of God. It is described as quick and powerful. It is able to divide asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is a powerful word. In Revelation, it is the word that goes out of his mouth that it brings about spiritual victory. It was the Word of God that Jesus utilized to rebuff temptation when Satan tempted him for 40 days in the wilderness. And so I want to bring to you today just a little bit of a refresher on the power of God's Word. When we have our devotions of a morning, when we are set there and partake of God's Word, it is not just a ritual that we are going through. It is not vain repetition. It is not just reading it so that we can say, yeah, I've read that, yeah, I've read that. Instead, we need to look at the Word of God for the characteristics that it is described as, that it is strong. It is described here in the New King James Version as a severe sword or as a very sharp sword. Leviathan was described in other places as a creature that it was virtually impossible to penetrate his exterior. And I want you to know that there is no surface that the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, cannot penetrate. So when you and I are studying God's Word, when we are meditating upon God's Word, when we are hearing God's Word, we need to realize that it is a word that is sharp. Now, sharpness can be can have two different benefits. It can be something that penetrates into the core of our being and thereby brings about a great result. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so it is the word that when it comes into us, when it penetrates to the core of our being, that word produces power and it produces transformation. How many times have you heard something and you said, wow, you know what? I didn't know that. Now that I do know that, it's going to change my behavior. A lot of times, and in fact, when I was having some work done on my teeth, the hygienist and I, we were having a conversation. She does a marvelous job, and as we were talking, I was describing how a lot of times we approach life as if all of the problems that need resolution are affecting somebody else, and it's very, very rare that we allow that transformation to come to the place where it affects us. But the scripture says that judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. It goes on to say that judgment begins with the pastor. And I will tell you that over the past several weeks, my heart has grieved over and over again as I've heard of many pastors across an entire array of different denominational and theological backgrounds have had issues that God has brought to light. And I want you to know it doesn't just happen if you are famous. It can happen if you are not famous. It doesn't just happen to pastors of small churches. It's happened to pastors of large churches. And so not only, let me describe it this way. We need to flip things around. We need to say, God, before I ask your word to penetrate and pierce my enemy, God, would your word take root in my heart to bring about the transformation in me? I don't preach at my congregation. I preach to my congregation and I preach to myself. I tell people that, you know, everything that I preach, God makes me live out. When I talk about reconciliation, I have been on both sides of the equation. I have been on the side where I have been the party that was treated badly, and I have been the party that had to go and repent and apologize. And so I have to I try and live out everything that I preach. And so let's first of all ask the Word of God to come and say, God, would your Word penetrate any hidden spots in my life that are not pleasing to you? And would you excise those things? Would you remove them from my life so that I could be healthy and sound in Jesus' name? Okay. It is also a word that is able to penetrate and immobilize the tactics of the enemy. And now we have no problem. When you start talking about the power of God's Word to go and devastate your spiritual enemy, that gets people really excited. But I want to tell you, it is not just about being free from enemies. It is about the Word of God empowering us to live like Jesus in character, not just in actions. Okay? And so God's Word is a severe sword. It is a relentless sword. God's Word is an unrelenting word. It is established forever and in heaven and in earth. It's not going anywhere. There's not going to be someone that comes along and says, you know, I have found a superior way of living to the Word of God. It's not going to pan out. It might have fruit for a moment, but it's not going to have fruit for eternity. God's Word is God's Word. And let me bring this back to a personal level. There have been times when much younger in my life that I thought that I had found a loophole, if you will, and I tried to play semantics with God's Word and rationalize certain things, but I always found that God's Word never changed. It never changed. There's a saying that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. In actuality, it is God said it, and that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, God's Word is not going to change. It is settled legal precedent. God's decree stands, and the plans of the enemy will not thwart or hinder what God has decreed is going to come to pass. And so when I was down, I was at a mall down in Melbourne to buy lunch for my wife. I'd gone down there to have lunch with her when she was working not far from Melbourne Square Mall. And I walked into the food court to get us something to eat. And then I was going to meet her, have a quick bite. And I was down in the area already. And I ran into a minister friend of mine. He's since passed away. And we were discussing the turmoil in the Middle East and the horrible things that were going on. And this dear brother, he looked at me and he said, Bob, God's Word is going to come to pass. This is not new. This is something we have read about and you and I have preached about, that it was going to happen. God's Word is going to come to pass. And I will tell you that God's Word hasn't changed just because we're in America. God's Word doesn't change whenever there's a presidential election. God's Word doesn't change whenever the Supreme Court changes its mind or tries to establish legal precedent. God's Word is established. It is unrelenting. And it is a relentless. Now, when I think of the word relentless, I think of something that is always pursuing us. And I want you to know that God has a word for you and for your life. He has direction for you and your life. And that word will come to pass. You and I, we need to embrace God's truth over our lives instead of embracing the devil's lies about our lives. And so it is a relentless word. And I pray that there's a hunger and a thirst for God's Word that is developed in our hearts and lives, that we would see God's Word as a higher priority in our life. The last thing is, it's a strong sword. It's not a feeble sword. I don't have to apologize for God's Word. I let the Word of God speak for itself. If I have something to say on here that it is my opinion about something that I can't 100% proof from God's word, then I will tell you, this is my take on this. This is my opinion on this. But when it comes to absolutes, when it comes to the only way to heaven, when it comes to the fact that every person must be forgiven, when it comes to the reality that not everybody is going to go to heaven, it doesn't matter who you're related to. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status or your fame status. We can only gain entrance into heaven because we've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our lives. It is a strong word. God's word can stand on its own merits. Now, I want to start with that so that I can tell you this. There are many people who look around at the evidence that they see with their eyes, and they conclude that Satan is the more powerful of the two, and that God is just kind of either out of touch or disconnected or weak and cannot hinder the plans that Satan has. Now, I want to put that in perspective for you. So the word of the Lord, the sword of the Lord, it's a sharp, severe, great, unrelenting, and strong sword. And by the way, I point you to the word, and it says it doesn't matter if even all the nations of the earth are to gather against God, God will overpower them. Satan is already a defeated foe. Now listen to how the Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to describe this enemy of ours. It will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. When you think of fleeing, that speaks of an entity that is in retreat, that they know that they have encountered a more formidable enemy than what they can withstand. And I tell you, the scripture says that Jesus came to destroy the devil, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay. How did he do that? He didn't do that with an overpowering army. He did it with his word. He did it with his holy life that he lived. He came and established righteousness. And Satan, listen, this is what the scripture says. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. That's what it says. It says that Satan will flee. When we submit to God, the devil has to flee. And so I encourage you to find what God's will is for your life. Hide God's word in your life. Embrace God's word. Don't compromise God's word. And watch the devil. He cannot stand there. Several years ago, I came out of our office building. I was headed over to our sanctuary building. There's a breezeway in between the two, and when I did, there was a snake that had slithered from some of the unkempt property that was around, and it had found itself into our breezeway. Now, I tell you this, I have found after 23 and a half years of pastoring that snakes and the ladies of our church do not get along really well. And so I said, you know, I don't want any of the ladies finding this. That would not be good. And so I realized that I was going to have to take my stand against this snake. I didn't want to kill it. It wasn't a venomous snake. And so I just tried to shoo it away, and it was a little stubborn. And so what I did was I continued to explore options until I found a method that convinced that snake that it was time to go. And it did. It retreated. It left and it crawled right underneath my vehicle. And then we had a whole other issue on. It's like, no. That's my vehicle. And so then we had another battle on our hands. But I want you to know that Satan cannot stand against the word of God. Now, it cannot be just the word that comes out of our mouth. It needs to be the word of God. It needs to be the word of authority, and it needs to come as a word from a person who is walking in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. The seven sons of Sceva tried to use the same words that Paul used in Acts chapter 19, and this is what it says, that the demon responded, and it said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And that demon manifest in that man's life. And the seven sons of Sceva, which was a Jewish priest, it said that they ran out of the house bleeding and wounded and naked. And it said, "In great fear fell upon the church." In other words, there were people that said, look, say, dealing with darkness, dealing with the spirit of darkness, dealing with demonic forces, it's not something to be trivialized. It's something that can only be handled. Listen, you cannot just repeat an incantation and get victory over the devil. That's a complete fallacy. It needs to be a word of authority that is ruling and reigning in your life and my life. And so I encourage you. Satan is, when he encounters the sword of the Lord, he does not find himself in a position of withstanding it. He finds himself in a fleeing. It says, "Leviathan, the twisted serpent." And it says, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. That was considered the abode of Leviathan. And it says here that no matter how much he coiled, no matter how contorted or perverse he became, the word of the Lord was going to prevail. And I remind you that the book of Revelation, it says that there's going to be an angel that comes and lays hold on Satan, and he's going to throw him into the bottomless pit and incarcerate him for 1,000 years. He is not omnipotent. God is more powerful. There is a reason why Satan isn't in heaven anymore. And that is because God overpowered him. He said, "You have got to get out of here." And I will tell you this, that there are some demonic forces that were so corrupt in their dealing that God in his mercy has said, "I'm not going to grant you even access to my people. What you did to them was so vile that you are kept bound for all of eternity until the great white throne judgment." The great white throne judgment, it says that these things, that hell and the ocean, all of those will bring forth their dead, and hath dell in the grave, and all those that were imprisoned there, they will all be cast in to the lake of fire. I'm here to declare to you right now, whatever you're facing, you might feel like the enemy has got you in a stranglehold, that you're between a rock and a hard spot, and right there with you is this very powerful enemy that you are powerless to withstand. If that's the case, I want you to rededicate yourself right now to becoming a student of the word of God. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed." Don't do like the seven sons of Sceva that said, "Hey, we heard this in a sermon one time and it sounded good, so we thought we would go out and try it." No, study the word of God. If you'd like some help on how to approach God's word, how to begin studying God's word, talk to your pastor. If you don't have a pastor, contact us at Merit Assembly of God, 321-454-4263. We would love to help you. If you'd like to come and find out how does a Christian walk, a Christian walks entirely different than an unbeliever. A Christian walks in light, not in darkness. We walk according to God's word, not according to our feelings or our longings or our desires or our emotions. We walk according to God's word. We walk in light. Listen, I want to be in a journey. John 12:35 says that walk in the light as long as you have it, so that the darkness does not overtake you. In other words, you and I cannot be standing still. We have to be pressing forward. We have to be pursuing righteousness and truth. We have to be pursuing love. We need to be searching for God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we do so, we will find him. And so let's close out this broadcast here today with a prayer and thank God for the power of his word. Let's not compromise that word. I know too many people who compromise God's word because of their personal circumstances or a person that they know does this. And if the word of God is true, that means that that person is not on the path to heaven. And because they so want that person to be on the path of heaven, they want to try and compromise the word of God so that they don't feel bad about the person that they know that is insisting on living this life of sin. I want you to know that compromising the word of God does not produce that desired result. I read something here a week ago. It says, the unbelievers in the world find it unbelievable that God's children proclaim the word and yet don't live the word. And so we need to give them a believable testimony where words come out of our mouth that match up our lifestyle. Father, I just want to thank you for your strong. I want to thank you for your sharp, unrelenting word of God. I want to thank you that it's a great sword, a powerful sword. Lord, David encountered a sword one time, the sword of Goliath, and he said, there's none like it. Father, there is no word like your word. No sword that can penetrate and defeat our enemy the way that your word can. And I pray, God, that we would follow Jesus' example. Lord, that we would know your word, we would hide it in our hearts, and we would utilize it. Father, if anybody's under attack right now, I pray, God, that it would drive them into your word and drive them in prayer so that they can hear from you. God, we just want to thank you for this day. Pray that you would be glorified in it in Jesus' name. Hey, go out and restore value to a person that you encounter today. In Jesus' name, we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.